11 o'clock Central Time tomorrow. We'll be kicking off in Knoxville back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Kentucky and Tennessee, that game will be a part of our pick six in the final hour of the program. Kentucky Sports Radio, Matt Jones is on the line with us. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully. How are you?
Doing fantastic. I'll tell you what, I was blown away by the stat on Mike Leach. I cannot believe that was the first time he had ever been shut out with an offensive touchdown since he's been running a program. I guess the question, the easy question is, how in the world did Kentucky pull that off? I mean, this is not a murderer's row defense. How did they just completely shut down the Bulldogs?
Well, I mean, it's an amazing stat. It's also a little misleading. I mean, they had six interceptions, so that helped a lot.
It does, yes.
And they and Mississippi State got inside the 40 four times and got no points. So, you know, I think the big thing that happened was Kentucky made the decision, and this is going to be interesting to watch as Mississippi State goes on through the rest of the season. Kentucky made the decision that they were going to basically do the exact same thing Arkansas did in the last week, which was play zone, drop eight guys back, and say either beat us with your athletes after the catch, or we're just going to shut you down and keep the passes in front of us. And it worked. I mean, Mississippi State completed 45 passes. They ran 84 plays. So, I mean, they offensively, they didn't get shut down, but they just couldn't get the plays that were necessary to score points. And I think that's what teams are going to keep doing to Mississippi State. I mean, the problem that LSU has, they tried to play a man, and Mississippi State just went over the top. Arkansas and Kentucky have shown that's not how to play them, and I think you'll see more teams do that. So I think Kentucky's defense is good. It's better than it looked in week one and two, but I don't think it's as good as that stat would lead you to believe.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. That's what surprised me. And they've had better defenses, as you know, in the past, and for them to do that. But you're right, yeah. Opportunistic may have played a big factor in that, too, with six picks. I wanted to ask you what do you think of Terry? Just your overall thoughts on Terry Wilson as their quarterback.
Well, I think Terry Wilson is a very good quarterback that is not great, but is very good, but is dependent on – he's got to have help. I mean, you know, he is not – Kentucky, over the years, we've seen what a great quarterback looks like. You know, they had Tim Couch, they had Andre Woodson, Jared Lorenzen, et cetera. Terry's not a great quarterback, but you can win with him. I mean, they went 10-2 with him just 2 years ago – or excuse me, 10-3. So you can win with Terry, but he's got to have help. And the problem he has this year is his receiving core has been dreadful. I mean, they can't get open. When they get open, they drop the passes. The offensive line, which is, I think, the strength of the team, had played really well in weeks one and two, but was dreadful in week three. So, you know, I know what you get with Terry. You get a solid game, but you don't get a game that's going to go, you know, win you the game. But he also, let me just say, doesn't lose you the game. So it's going to be about the rest of your team. And when Kentucky, the rest of their team has played well, they played really well against Auburn. They could have won that game. They didn't, but they two plays go differently. They win. I did not think they played well against Ole Miss. And then I thought they played pretty well against Mississippi State, certainly on defense.
What do they have, Matt, behind him? I mean, Mark Stoops, I mean, do they have some, you know, young?
Well, they have a lot of – they got stuff for the future. I mean, okay. Joey Gatewood, the transfer from Auburn, I think
right.
is the guy. Everybody, and I think you'll see him a little bit against Tennessee. I think he'll probably have one or two series that they run with him. And then they have a freshman named Bo Allen, who's one of the highest recruited guys they've had in a while. So I think they feel good about the future. I don't think they think either of those guys – see, here, you have to understand, Mark Stoops is old school. He believes you win in the SEC by having great – teams at the line of scrimmage and not screwing up. It's kind of an old school mentality. And I didn't think you could win like that at Kentucky. I just didn't think that Kentucky produced enough talent to do that. But he's done it. But that mindset, I think they just think, look, our defense and our running backs are good enough. I just need my quarterback not to screw up. And I honestly think they think, Mark Stoops thinks, Terry Wilson won't screw up as much as these young guys will. So let me get through this year with him, and then we pass the torch.
Interesting. So what was the narrative? What were you guys talking about? There was a lot of discussion here on why they had not, approved Cade Mays. You guys were talking the same thing about Gatewood. What What do you make of why it took so long?
On this, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I think it's very simple. I think there's a rule that says that the SEC, you can't transfer immediately in conference and play. I think the SEC teams involved, Kentucky and Auburn specifically, agreed that they would sort of together decide that it would be okay and ask the SEC to do it. But they made a gentleman's agreement that it wouldn't happen until after the Kentucky-Auburn game because Auburn didn't want Joey Gatewood playing against Kentucky. We heard about it in the weeks leading up to the game. The game happened. As soon as the game was over, they made both those dudes eligible. Now, you're telling me that's a coincidence?
I don't know.
They had 6 months to approve it. What could they have found out in the 2 days after the Kentucky-Auburn game that made it make sense?
But was he really going to play?
No, he wasn't. But I think at the time that the agreement was made, they didn't know if Terry Wilson would be 100% healthy or not.
Okay.
So, in my opinion, there is no logical scenario where the SEC knew about these transfers for 6 months, does nothing, and then makes the decision after week one. What is that? Like, what would the scenario be where that would make sense?
Well, there's a lot of things that don't make sense in college football.
I know, but here's what does make sense. Kentucky played Auburn in week one, and they said, let's get through that game, and then we'll say yes. And that's what I think happened. And then I think Cade Mays was kind of along for the ride of the because you couldn't approve Cade Mays and not approve Joey Gatewood.
Right.
So I think you had to wait until after week one, and I think that's what happened. And nobody's ever going to convince me otherwise because nothing else makes sense.
We're talking to Matt Jones, creator of Kentucky Sports Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at KY Sports Radio. And Matt, I got to say, I got a great laugh out of your poll question on Twitter. Will you cheer for Rick Pitino at Iona? I can go back. I grew up in New York. I have been to a game at Iona. I was really curious about your audience's answer. Without looking, I would have thought that more people might have said, you know, who cares? It's Iona. I mean, that'd be nice. Overwhelming. 70-30 almost. No. They're not rooting for Ricky P.
You can never underestimate the amount our fan base hates Rick Pitino. You know, I mean, what do they say? There's no worse hate than a lover scorned, that's not what the saying is, but it's something to that.
I know what you mean, yes.
And that's what it is. Good grief, this woman just about jumped in front of me while I was driving. Sorry about that. But with Rick Pitino, it wasn't just that he left. Coaches leave, and he left for the Celtics. Nobody cares. It's that he went to Louisville with his next job. He could have taken the Michigan job. He chose Louisville. Like, that's fine, but you just chose our biggest rival. And then while he was there, he was constantly taking shots at Kentucky, including in his final appearance in Rupp Arena. As he was walking off the court, he flipped the crowd off. So, you know, people just – they remember that stuff, and they're like, Rick – You're done. We don't like you. Now, I have to tell you, I thought it would be closer to 50-50. But Rick Pitino has a way of just not ever making you feel sorry for him. You know, America loves a good redemption story.
Right.
But Rick Pitino just doesn't. And I don't mean to be political, but it's a little bit like Donald Trump. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, nobody feels sorry for Donald Trump. Nobody feels sorry for Rick Pitino. He just has a personality that no one is ever going to be like, oh, poor Rick Pitino. And I think that's why, ultimately, it was 70-30.
Oh, that was
good. Things we've never heard. Poor Rick Pitino.
All right, Matt.
People just don't feel that way. He's too arrogant. And he's one. So I do think, by the way, though, once he starts coaching there and he's not taking shots at Kentucky every day, our fan base will mellow on him a little bit.
I think that's – we'll see. I guess we'll have to keep an eye on that one for sure. But, Matt, back to the game. What is your perception of Tennessee and where they sit right now? Because it was so interesting to follow the narrative of, hey, they won these games 8 in a row. They hadn't really beaten anybody. Now here's the litmus test against Georgia, and they fell apart in the second half. So how beatable is Tennessee in your mind?
Well, I mean, if you just look, if the names on the jersey were not Kentucky and Tennessee, I would say Kentucky could win the game. But we are spooked from having lost 35 of the last 37 times. So because of that, I never pick Kentucky over Tennessee. I just won't, because you guys, I mean, Tennessee has completely spoiled, you know, has made me sad too many times. So I do think this is where I think Tennessee football is, and it's where their fans just will not accept. Tennessee is part of a group of teams that include, I think, Kentucky, South Carolina, Mississippi State, that are sort of mid-tier programs that are a notch below the top programs in the SEC. Now, I think Tennessee's probably at the top of that list. They're probably better than these other, those other programs, but they are not on the level of Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Florida. And Tennessee fans, I know that drives them crazy because you all used to be on that level, but you're not now. So basically, for the last decade, you've been like we've been, which is, man, if we get the right roster, we can put things together, we can pull an upset, maybe we can win 9 or 10, but you can't expect to beat Georgia on the road. You just can't do it. So in that first half last week, I watched that game. Yeah, Tennessee led, but they were really lucky to have led. I mean, there was a fumble in the end zone for a touchdown on the first play, two fourth down stops. Georgia's better. It's just how it is. For this week, I think Kentucky and Tennessee are on the same tier. Tennessee's probably better. The Vols have a couple playmakers that Kentucky just doesn't have. The linebacker, whose name is escaping me, but he's a huge talent. They just got some guys Kentucky doesn't have. I think Tennessee wins. But I think here's what I would say. The gap between Kentucky and Tennessee is a lot smaller than the gap between Tennessee and Georgia is.
Okay. Matt, leave us with this. You gave, I thought, a really fair evaluation of Wilson, the Kentucky quarterback. You know what you're getting. They run the heck out of the ball. He's a limited passer. I know the schemes are different. Try to put that aside for a minute. If you could swap quarterbacks right now, Garantano or Wilson, who would you take?
Well, that's a great question. Probably Garantano, just because I think – for Kentucky to get where they need to be, they need a quarterback that can make some explosive plays, and I think he has the ability to do that. Now, he makes a lot more errors than Terry Wilson does, and so you have to have that trade-off. So, you know, that's a great question. I think it's 6-1, half dozen the other. It's sort of like, what is your likelihood of accepting risk? I think there's a lot more variance in Garantano's play. I've seen it against Kentucky. He is a Heisman winner against Kentucky. The 3 years he's played against us, he's destroyed us. So maybe that's why I'm a little biased, probably in his direction. But I honestly think they're probably pretty close.
All right, last thing. I can't leave it alone. Who gets booed louder at Rupp? Ricky P. or Billy Gillespie?
Ricky P. Because Billy Gillespie, people just think Billy Gillespie's pathetic. It's not like
so they do feel sorry, you know, for him.
Well, I don't know. Again, I don't know if I feel sorry for him, but they just think he's pathetic. Like Billy Gillespie is the local town kind of drunk. Like, are you going to yell at him? Like, he's Otis from Mayberry. Like, are you going to yell at the guy? Or are you just kind of like, oh, there he is? Rick is the antagonizer. You know, Rick is the dude who's like all up in your face. So, I mean, here's what's weird. There's more positive thoughts about Rick Pitino than there are Billy Gillespie, but there's also more hate. So I think Rick just brings stronger emotion either way.
Hmm. I thought maybe you'd use a Hoosiers reference for the town drunk, but you went to Otis. Okay. All right. Either way.
I'm a big Andy Griffith guy. And so, you know, Billy Gillespie, here's the thing. There is a world in which Rick Pitino comes back to Rupp one day and gets applause, but Billy Gillespie will probably never get a standing ovation, but there will be a, oh, poor Billy, hope he's doing okay.
Interesting. I don't think you thought Billy Gillespie.
Billy never flipped us off. Billy
that's
never
true.
Flipped
okay.
us off. Rick flipped us off, and that's a big difference.
I don't think you used the shooter reference from Hoosiers for Dennis Hopper's character because you thought Dennis Hopper was probably a better coach than Billy Gillespie.
Oh, well, Billy was a terrible coach. But let me tell you, the 2 years of Billy Gillespie gave me some of the best comedy I've ever had in my life.
I bet it did.
When you didn't think it could get any weirder, it somehow did.
Matt, appreciate the visit as always. We'll talk to you down the road. Continue to be safe.
Thank you, guys.
Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio. You just made the list. Next.